listening to the Ringside Podcast.
Sitting at ringside.
The show that brings you all that is pro wrestling, news, interviews, and opinions.
Oops, I'm breaking the fourth wall.
With Daniel Spencer.
The most electrifying man in sports entertainment.
Jeremy Wallman.
I'm the best in the world at what I do.
And Justin Kruger.
Your arms are just too short to box with God.
And now, let's ring the bell and start the show.
Welcome, everyone, to the Ringside Podcast. I'm Daniel Spencer.
I'm the incomparable Jeremy Wallman.
Oh, wait, I was waiting for a gimmick.
I'm Kruger Mania, brother. Okay, thanks, buddy. We appreciate that.
No, I'm sure he's probably the star maker, right?
God, one of those shows.
Guys, we're, today we got another treat. It's part two of the Kenny Bowen.
No, I thought you meant because I decided to come back on the show, but yeah.
No, that too. You know, we can't get that lucky and not have you here.
That's true.
Yeah. So, I appreciate everyone listening to it. We had a lot of listeners last week, thanks to Kenny, once again coming out, and then it's part two. It was just amazing sitting down and the stories that I heard. And there was stuff that we talked about off record, even when I stopped recording, that I was like, man, I wish I was recording when I said this. And he was laughing, going, yeah, that's for another time, pal. And I was like, all right, I gotcha. But just the stories, the knowledge he shared, the different things was just amazing. You heard on the last episode he talked about, you know, not many people knew that Ian Rotten was in charge of leading. He was going to be the developmental deal for OVW. Instead of OVW, it was going to be him doing an IWA Mid-South. And it's like, wow, if he just got his stuff together, imagine what that could have been. Because he had better talent than OVW did at the time. Yeah. And he did, as they were talking about. So it's just pretty amazing to hear that story and to kind of hear the insight of that. And, of course, Kenny talked about how he became the star maker and things like that. But on this episode coming up, you'll hear some other many things about some other wrestlers, including a little John Cena secret that most people don't know about. It's going to be announced on the show as well, and just a couple of little things. It was just a great discussion we talked about and different people in and out. And you know what though, Jeremy, in this next interview, you're going to love Kenny discussing his favorite / non-favorite OVW wrestler ever.
Okay, let's roll this interview. I can't wait to hear this. You got me pumped up.
It's somebody that's been on the show before. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, sweet God.
It is
nope.
Phenomenal.
Let's get to this. I can't believe that if that's true.
But before we go any further, though, Kenny Bowen's new podcast, the new Bowen Alley, is available at bowenpod.com. Also, you can find him on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Google Play as well. And by the way, the logo is him with the Bowen Alley logo, kind of cartoon version of him pointing with a king crown in his hand. That is a new logo. The other ones you see out there are his old podcast, which, by the way, they're funny and entertaining. Check them out. But the new one is what he's promoting and where you can catch the new Bowen Alley. Pretty good show. Pretty funny first episode I heard last week. Good stuff. You always never go wrong with Kenny, the king, the star maker, whatever you want to call him, bowling, or the king of podcasts, as he likes to say. The new podcast with the great Brian Last, as you see that on there, so check that out. But this episode, you'll notice, is a little bit more, a little more things slipping in, not as much bleeping on this one. As we said last week, I'm going to reveal some filter a little bit, allow a little more in. And I think it makes it more natural. Stay tuned for I know you're going to listen to the whole show, but at the end of the episode, we got a special pipe bomb edition. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, yes.
A special pipe bomb edition at the end of this episode.
We're going to be trending soon.
Jesus.
I love it.
All right. So, by the way, thanks for listening to our shows, and we appreciate the support. You can follow us, before we get into the interview, you can follow us on the Twitter, the Instagram, and the Facebook at Ringside Podcast. You can, like I said, where to listen to the show. I'm individually, I'm at Daniel Spencer.
@Jeremy_CSC.
we have to throw those out there and get those plugs out there. And you can follow the Kenny Starmaker Bolin himself at Starmaker Bolin on Twitter. And at the end of the show, he mentions some of the other stuff you can hear him on. He'll plug that at the end. So you know what? Let's just go ahead and let's get this thing rolling. Part two of my conversation hangout session with Kenny Starmaker Bolin. So I'm sitting back here with Kenny Bolin for part two of this from last week's episode. And when we end off last week, we talked about stories. We were into stories, and I said I want you to hold off there because I like to talk about different stories. But Kenny, see if you remember this. We did a show. You remember we did a show together. OVW came to my former high school. And
do you really think anybody wants to hear anything about you?
They do. It's my podcast.
Here for us. Trust
yeah.
me.
Yeah. Oh, I know they are. Me. Yeah, I'm not.
I promise you, this will be the highest.
I've done a few of these by now, and
I promise you, this is going to be the highest rated show.
So we did a show, and it was like 2003.
Who's the biggest guest you've had other than me?
Who's the big? You're the biggest guest right now, at the moment.
Well, I didn't say at the moment. Who's the biggest guest you ever had?
But yeah, you are.
Me?
Yeah.
Before him.
How many times have I ever done this show before?
This is the first time doing the show. Yeah.
What's the biggest star you had before me?
Biggest star was well, Ricky Chevy's been on the show.
Oh, Ricky Chevy! My God, my God! The numbers that Ricky Chevy must have put up. It's, you killed him. You just killed him.
Yeah.
You know, you were kind of wanting an interesting story that not a lot of people know. Ricky Chevy was in OVW.
Yeah.
I know. I thought that
for
was
like, what, 3 weeks, right?
No, he's just a little Ricky Chevy. He's going to die.
Yeah.
We're not going to be able to get through this.
Oh, we're going
to
stomp these records. I didn't know Ricky Chevy was. Oh, God.
I like Ricky. He's a nice enough guy.
He's all right for a white boy.
So Ricky Chevy was in, and they were trying to do something with him.
Don't forget, he's got an important story he wants to. Don't let him forget.
I'm not gonna forget.
Well,
I'll get my shit in.
Yeah, get your shit in.
Get your shit in.
So Ricky Chevy's in OVW, and not really.
What's saying Ricky Chevy?
They don't really know what to do with him.
I knew what to do with him.
So when I was
at a dumpster out back,
that was Kidman and Hogan. So when I was in OVW, I wouldn't do whatever they wanted me to do because I knew Al Snow didn't know what he was doing. So I would just kind of do my own stuff. So they wouldn't let me work with any of the top guys. BS was just kind of relegated to people who weren't doing anything else, which is why we ended up working with Raul for so long, why we ended up working with Mickey McMichael.
Uh-huh.
Because these are the guys, they had no idea what to do with.
Christopher was taking the leftovers that they were doing nothing with and making main event talent out of them. Now, that's managing right there.
Mm-hmm. And
that's
booking.
Managing.
And booking.
And booking, which I wasn't fond of.
Or, sorry, writing. I'm not a booker. I'm a writer. So,
And I'm a writer, not a booker.
So they don't know what to do with Ricky, and I'm kind of needing a place to go. So I saw us as, hey, you know, we can take this guy and kind of do a bit of a Dusty Rhodes thing with him. You know, he's very much the everyman. He's a lot more similar to the rest of the OVW crowd. You had Moose, who outside of OVW was normally dressed very well, you know, dress shirts, dress pants, ties,
right.
Kind of a business guy. You have Rocco, who's built like $1 million.
He was managing that telemarketing company.
Yeah, exactly. You have Rocco, who's built like $1 million, who's legitimately married to a millionaire. The guy drinks whiskey that costs more than most people's homes.
I'll give you $700,000 on Rocco. I'm not going to go $1 million.
his father-in-law is legitimately a millionaire. He drinks whiskeys that's worth more than most people's homes. So you have him. You have me, who I wear shoes that people would kill their mother for. We're not really the Cameron just said he'd kill his mother for my shoes.
I'd kill my mother for a pair of Pro Kids.
You'd kill your mother for a ham sandwich.
Well, he's wearing the Currys, though.
He's wearing the old Currys. They're not even the new ones. Yeah, yeah. It's the old, you know, I only
well,
see
at least
him
he ain't wearing the Ricky Chevys.
He's not wearing those Ricky Chevy specials. This is the Yeezy Boost 350 V2, by the way.
You know, we have a running – you all fit right in because we have a running thing on our pocket. We always make fun of Ricky Chevy every podcast.
If you say Ricky Chevy, you're probably making fun of Ricky Chevy.
Yeah.
But anyway, I actually really wanted to use Ricky Chevy because I thought that I could get some use out of him. And I could actually build
him. Why you're not in the business anymore.
Well, if you look at who else I had to work with at the time, it was getting, the pickings were getting thin.
I know.
So
poor Ricky Chevy.
I was actually gonna, and I was gonna build him. We were gonna put him over. I was talking to Rocco. Rocco didn't want to do it, but he would have done it for me. Moose was on board. Jack Black was on board. But they, OVW, sorry to say it again, but they shit on that kid so hard. Mm-hmm. He wasn't great. I doubt he's great now. I haven't seen him in years, but he was workable. We could have done some things with him. I think OVW wanted you to be so dedicated to their system and so drinking the Kool-Aid, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
And as he speaks, I'm sitting here drinking grape Gatorade Kool-Aid.
He is. Yeah, that's true.
Oh, well.
So they really wanted you to be into that system, and Ricky wasn't. Ricky had done some smaller things outside.
Is that Jim Jones over there?
Jim Jones and OVW. It's Jim Davis. So they really wanted to be that, and I never did that, and they always kind of had an issue with me over that. And Ricky was never one of those guys either, which I honestly respected him for. He did his other things. He came from another show. He right. was kind of his own thing, and I respected that. But they wouldn't give
him. He was in law enforcement down in Southern Kentucky.
I think that's why he ended up leaving OVW. Around Eaton County or something. Yeah, I think he left OVW because of that.
I don't think he was a real cop, but he was close to it.
He was, I think he was a prison guard down there. Yeah, jail guard. Yeah. He was in corrections. So
I think he guarded, wasn't there an OVW wrestler that was in jail down there? Trailer Park? Did Trailer do some time down there?
Frank probably did.
I think he did, yeah.
Probably.
I think Ricky Chevy was in charge of feeding him his ham sandwich.
Oh. Poor Trash, because I think Ricky likes Trash as much as
what
I do.
That's what I heard.
So I really wanted to use them, and they really wouldn't let us do it. I always tried to get a lot of guys used in OVW, and they wouldn't go for it. So whenever I could get someone pushed, it was like pulling teeth. But
yeah,
that was one of my main issues with Al Snow. Al was one of those guys, and Danny to a lesser extent, if you weren't really loyal, if you weren't really dedicated to the company, not just the business, not just to getting better, but to the company, they didn't really want to use you. They didn't really want to push you. And I was trying to get all of BS to leave. I wanted the whole core group, me, Joe Coleman, Rocco, Moose, Jack, even to a degree Raul, even though he was somebody we feuded with. I wanted
and,
to bring
and
him
eventually,
in.
I think every single one of us left, I'm pretty sure.
Well,
maybe Raul hung around.
Raul was there for a while, but he's gone now. My goal was actually, there's a Japanese group from Torimon and later Dragon Gate called Aganiso. It was led by Shuji Kondo. And they were such reprehensible pricks that they all got fired together. And that was my goal. I wanted
way
us,
to do it.
I wanted us all to be fired together. It's actually known. It's a very controversial thing in Japanese
wrestling.
If my
version of BS had all gotten fired at the same time, they'd had to cancel television.
Yeah, they would have done the show, yeah.
Would have had an opening curtain jerker match. That would have been it.
Chris Alexander would have wrestled Derek King in the main event.
I'd pay to see that.
It would have been a decent match. They're both all right.
No, I wouldn't have.
But that was always my goal, and it never happened. But the time of OVW I came up in was not nearly what my dad's was, and I actually managed with
and fortunately it was still 10 times better than what airs today.
Yeah, Rocco and I had a conversation about that the other day, how grim things had gotten when he left.
And here's to tell you how grim things have gotten is that, let's face it, they're in high definition finally, which I am jealous of that. I'd love to get to do some HD TV.
Everybody's glad they didn't have to see you in HD though. So
I think I'd have been lovely in HD. And but they're really the only real television in town that's on a real TV station. Anything else is BS YouTube crap or someone shot on their cell phone or whatever. And
late night public access.
So it's the only real television you can be on. And there's so many talented people that say, you know, it's all right. I'll just do whatever. I just don't want to be on the show. You know, it's embarrassing.
Yeah, Rudy Switchblade, who was one of the most talented guys I was talking to.
Well, it took me a lot of talking to's with Rudy Switchblade to figure out what the hell he was thinking about.
Well, he's actually doing training over in Indiana, which I'd like to plug that for him. I'm not sure who he's with over there, but if you Eric Matlock, Rudy Switchblade on Twitter, he's a tremendous talent. He's doing some training in
and
Indiana,
I'm not doing
so.
This bad mouthing Capitelli or not even
no,
really
no,
bad mouthing Rip.
I'll bad mouth Rip.
Well, you will, but it's just the fact that you got too many people that don't know how to drive the Titanic trying to drive the Titanic.
Yeah, there's icebergs all around, and they don't have a skilled enough captain to get them through it. And if you want to learn the basics, go to Capitelli, please. Capitelli is tremendously talented, who should have gotten a much better shot than he did, and sadly, nature took that away from him.
Good friend of mine, and I think eventually he'll be on the podcast soon.
So, I love
it. You better hope so.
I love Maddie.
If you're riding that Ricky Chevy train, you ain't going to go very far.
No, I'm not. No, we're not. We're not riding the Ricky Chevy.
I should have you take me back out for dinner tonight. I'm going to call that lunch.
Hey, I'm holding out for the cow.
I'm comfy cow.
I want some.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to demand some comfy cow because this is a big deal to you here today.
Well, I'm trying to give you guys stuff that doesn't get on other podcasts because you know I do like you and you're a nice guy.
Right.
And we there's so many stories get repeated.
Ricky Chevy don't get on other podcasts.
Ricky Chevy barely gets on.
He barely gets on this one.
Ricky Chevy barely gets on his own wife. Who are we talking about here?
I've seen his wife.
I actually haven't. I don't know what she looks like.
Not a bad looking lady.
Really? Yeah, good for Ricky.
Yeah, he married up.
Ricky's a good guy. I really don't have a problem with Ricky, and I really wish I got to use him. But
I hate him.
You just hate him because he got a decent looking wife, apparently.
Yeah, it's got something to do with it.
Who would have thought that this podcast would have gone in the direction of just discussing Ricky Chevy? The life and times.
I know I didn't.
That's what happens every time his name gets brought up on this podcast.
The life and times of Richard Chevy.
If I'd have known we were going to talk about Ricky Chevy, I wouldn't have done this show. Not even for Bergu.
Well, we'll say this. So what I was going to say, and I'll let you go finish about that, but when we did that show in 2003 or whatever.
I'm shocked you want to bring that up. Go ahead.
Well, because Linda Miles just was tough enough to.
Woo!
Linda Miles.
Yeah.
I might jump in on this.
She comes up to me, and I got this one of those little diva layout, like bathing suit
little
you know,
Jimmy,
magazines
do you
or whatever.
Remember Linda Miles? Do you know who that is?
Shaniqua. Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
So I'm sitting there, and
I forgot that was her name.
Yeah.
And I have her sign the picture, you know, and I give her a silver Sharpie, one of those silver.
I've got a drawer full of them. Yeah.
She signs, and this is back now. Everyone has them, but this is before they were special to find.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. They were a little trouble back then. Yeah, and so gold ones too.
Right, the gold ones too. I had a gold and silver because you know when you sign anything black, you need that.
Yeah.
So she's like, this is. She goes, I love this because I'm getting ready to be called up, and she's like, and I need. This goes with my color great, and she marked it on her arm, and she's like, this color is beautiful. This will look great.
She drew on her black skin?
Yeah, she did. And she said...
Did she sign her whole name?
Well, she just wrote a little on her thumb.
Because if she had, she still wouldn't have been worth 50 cents, but that's all right.
But she goes...
I'm going to disagree with you about that.
She does that, and she goes...
75?
She asked if she can have
it. Dollar.
I'm going to get in on this. I'll finish the story.
She asked if she can have it, and I was like, I'm thinking, well, yeah.
Well, how much were those silver Sharpies?
Well, they were a couple bucks, whatever. But I was like, yeah.
Well, that's a big deal to you.
Right. So when she debuts on SmackDown two weeks later,
well,
here
really
she is.
So she actually was honest with you and was getting called
up. Yeah.
I think Cornette motivated that call up too because he hated her.
She debuts on SmackDown 2 weeks later, and what does she have on? That silver metallic.
Metallic.
Thank you.
Got to teach him English.
Sorry, yeah. I do that sometimes.
Easy for you to say.
I get that. She has it on, and she's wearing
magnetic.
It.
I like that.
Yeah, magnetic.
That magnetic metallic.
She's wearing that, and I'm like, no way! I gave her that color. That was to me my star maker moment.
That was your star maker moment. Well, I'll give you that because I don't want anything to do with getting her on SmackDown.
You know, here's the thing, and this is the thing about Linda, and I'll say this about
her. She was an athlete.
Yeah, she was.
Linda Miles was naturally talented.
Yeah,
and I think that everybody expected her because she was a world class basketball player. And she had a big personality. When you met Linda Miles,
I did beat her in 3-point shooting.
She had a big personality. Linda stood out.
I remember that basketball. I was there when you took on somebody in a shot contest. I'm trying to remember who it was. Was it Nova or
probably Nova or Layfield?
God, I own Nova. I beat John Layfield. I beat Mark Henry.
It's bizarre how
I beat Lance Cade, who was the state champion basketball player.
Who was the who was the guy that was a Shawn Michaels wannabe? I forget his name.
J.D.
Michaels?
J.D. Michaels.
J.D. Michaels. Yeah.
J.D.'s a big guy. I owned him.
But let me get back to this Linda Miles thing.
I tell you who didn't play me, though. Chris Jericho. He said that Linda Miles had told him what I did to her. He said, if you did that to Miles, you will kill me, and you ain't going to beat this Canadian. He wouldn't blame me.
Go ahead. So Linda, I think there was a lot of pressure on Linda to be...
Didn't know that, did you, little Jimmy?
To perform at a higher level than what she was ready to perform at. I think that they expected her to come in and just light the world on fire.
Right.
And to be honest with you, she told Cornette she much preferred to be an announcer than a wrestler. Well, they had all this time and effort invested into her being a wrestler.
I'm pretty sure that now she does commentary for one of the female basketball groups. I'm not sure. I think I heard that. But Linda was a very nice lady. Linda had a great personality.
I'm about to Google that.
And Linda could have been a much bigger deal than what they allowed her to grow into.
Yeah, she was nice. I'm just giving everybody some crap. Her and Cornette hated each other.
Yeah, and that was Cornette's thing. And, you know, I'm not going to call Cornette a racist, but Cornette's a racist. And
I think you just called Cornette a racist. But then again, Donald.
He said he's not going to, you know.
No. I'm not.
But Donald Trump's.
I didn't call him that. I said he was one. It's totally different.
But Donald Trump's a racist, and he says he's not a racist, but we all know he's a racist.
He also has small hands. But Linda, if people had not expected Linda to deliver the moon, and they put her on Raw the night after Tough Enough, two nights after Tough Enough,
mm-hmm.
with Jackie and Trish and that whole, they call it the crappy Jackie match.
Oh,
what do you expect? These people have a combined 6 weeks of training. You're putting them in front of, at the time, probably 20,000 people.
None of them
had any business being there.
Right.
And then they bring Linda down here.
And
three or 4 weeks. They put her on TV again, and it's not a great match. And she comes to the back, and she says, hey, two people were out there. This is the story of what happened with her and Cornette. I'll tell this, because I don't know if a lot of people know this. She was in the ring with Jillian Hall, who on a good day is overrated, on a bad day had no talent. Most of her days were bad. Cornette liked her because she looked like a little kid before she got the fake boobs. There you go. Jim Cornette's a pervert, too. So Linda goes out there and works Jillian Hall. Match sucks, because of course it does, because Jillian was not at the level to carry somebody as green as Linda.
Right.
And Linda was not at the level to be able to perform the way that they wanted her to, because she shouldn't have been, because she'd had a combined maybe 10 weeks of training.
Mm-hmm.
And you're putting her on TV. So, nice. Hope that phone still works.
Yeah, it still works.
So they put this pressure on Linda, and when the match sucks, they just start blaming her, and Jimmy goes absolutely nuts on her. Completely undeserved. Completely undeserved. It wasn't a good match. It was never going to be a good match. So Linda goes to Cornette and says, hey, look, there were two people out there. Two people sucked in that match. Yeah, I was bad. So was Jillian. Well, Jillian was one of Cornette's girls. Mm. So, of course, he blows up even worse. Starts calling her every name in the book except for the one that everybody was waiting on to call her.
I had to step in and make sure that that name didn't get said, because I thought it was coming.
That same show, by the way, Cornette blew up on me, but that's
another thing. I think Jackie probably got. I think Linda probably got it worse. And after that,
wait, he blew up at you at that show?
Yeah,
at OVW TV.
Yeah.
Why?
No, not the OVW TV. At the show that I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, okay. Linda's show. Well, right. We were going to get into that, I believe.
Yeah.
So that's the whole thing with Linda, is that Linda could have been a tremendous talent. Linda could have been an asset to the company, and Linda could have probably developed into being a draw. They've never had. I'm trying to think. Even now, they haven't. What's that girl's name, Naomi? Is it Naomi?
I don't really
watch the show these days.
Oh, so. Trinity, Naomi. Her name's Trinity, but Naomi. Yeah,
I don't really watch the show, so I don't really know. She's very talented from what I've seen.
Yeah.
She's very good.
But they
she's
just now have gotten to where they have a competitive, presentable,
right,
main-level black female.
Right.
When if they had just not let Cornette be a dick about it, they could have had that 14 years ago.
Right.
And it's a shame that it came to that. And I have defended Jackie. Or not Jackie. I keep saying Jackie because of the Linda and Jackie thing. Right. I've defended Linda Miles on this consistently for years because she never had a chance. Linda Miles was not a great worker. Linda Miles, at 10 weeks into her training, should not have been a great worker. She had no business on TV.
And she really, honestly, I think she would have had the better career than the other. Because
Jackie. Yeah.
Had the one. Yeah, because Jackie ended up, she ended up married Charlie Halls or whatever.
Yeah.
But it just so happened that Linda was a better talent overall. But you're right, the chance wasn't there.
No, they never gave her the chance to develop, and they.
Oh, that has to do. I still think there's a color issue there.
There probably was. I'm sure there was an OVW.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of it with Linda also was that Jackie had a more manager friendly look. She didn't have the pressure on her to become the worker.
Right.
When you have the athleticism that Linda Miles naturally had, which she was an athlete, she was a top level college basketball player. It's that you don't have the ability to fall back into managing. And when they tried to make her be Shaniqua with the Basham brothers, even then it was done on the pretense that she could beat up the guys that the Bashams couldn't. They had her getting in there and slamming guys and stuff like that. So I think that it was all kind of pushing this poor girl, who was very young at the time, who was not physically trained enough to do these things.
And then they
hold it against her for it. And I think that's one of the most, and I'm going to cuss, you can bleep me, I think that's one of the most bullshit things in this business. And there's so many marks that get on Reddit. I'm on the Squared Circle Reddit, and I read these people, and her name's come up a couple of times. And it's these people who don't understand what the business is, who have never trained.
Right.
Or if they did, they trained with some guy in the middle of BFE, Virginia, who was never anybody, who trained them the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that Jimmy said that I absolutely agree with, and I'm sure he stole it from somebody, but if, I don't know who, so we'll assume that maybe he came up with it. But he always told people that we come in here, well, I was trained by so-and-so, or I was trained by this guy. How can you ever be trained to get over if the person training you has never been over themselves?
So do we just completely ignore that when it comes to Rip Rogers, who was never over?
You will never convince Rip Rogers that he wasn't over.
No, I won't. But if you want to talk about main eventing an outlaw
you'll never convince Donald Trump that he's not a great president. You'll never convince Rip Rogers that he was never over.
Yeah, so. I'm glad that I actually got into getting into the Linda Mile things, because I've been wanting to talk about that.
We certainly haven't discussed that on any other podcast.
No, we haven't. And it's good that it came up. Linda had a lot of potential. And I think that the business and the way the business is built, and especially Jim Cornette, screwed her. And if she ever wants to reach out on Twitter or Instagram or something, I'd love to hear from her.
Yeah.
And I'll defend her. I'll keep defending Linda Miles.
Well, you could just enter her name in a search button and write her.
I'm way too lazy for that. And I don't have Facebook, so she's probably on Facebook. But
yeah.
She's more likely on Twitter than she is Facebook.
You know, but back then, though, they would send people up a lot, I think, earlier, because when Matt and John came down from WM3, they were here for 2 or 3 years. Well, you know, we know what happened with Matt. He was getting ready to be called up, but then John was shortly after that.
Yeah.
And he was here a while, where the other ones, right away, boom, they were up within a year. That
yeah.
Maven. Maven.
Maven never came here.
Let me tell you. You're wrong. He did.
No, he was here. I was actually in the training class that he came to. He came down and helped train us one day.
Yeah.
It was weird. I don't know why Maven was training.
It was Nadia? Is that the one who won?
Nidia.
I thought he was here for a few weeks.
He only came to the one training class that I was at.
You might be right.
Nidia was here. Yeah. She comes here, but they brought her up too quick. But
her sister Lulu was one of my Nurse Lulu.
Yeah, Lourdes Gennard.
I remember you were going to hook me up with her, but something never happened. I don't know.
Yeah, something didn't happen because you never had a shot.
Lourdes was a 10, and you're like a rock solid 4.
Four? Your vision is going a lot worse than mine.
Man. Yeah, I got hit by a car. I'm easily a 6 or 7. Come on, guys.
I wouldn't go that far, brother. Not with that one. But,
on a scale of 1 to 100.
So that was my Linda Miles story for the day.
Yeah.
I feel terrible about
it. Well, I believe that's enough Linda Miles stories for the day. We'd like for somebody to listen to this damn show.
So you told a story about Gene and, you know, being out. What's some of the other good ones? I know you got another good one about someone else that stars that people know. Maybe a Cena. Maybe that might be too far back. Maybe a Miz. Maybe Bull Buchanan.
I didn't hang out with Bull Buchanan too much. I know that
Bull didn't hang out with any of us much. He just did his job and went home.
Bull was,
he had a family.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of them didn't have families.
One of the things that about Cena that I've told this one a couple of times, but I think it bears repeating. John Cena used to hang out with us all the time. He'd always go out, he'd get the free food, he'd come out with me, Dad, Mark Henry, whoever. And then Louisville got high speed internet in, I think, 2002.
You're right about.
He didn't come out anymore, and we kept asking him, John, what are you doing? Why aren't you coming? He's like, I'd just rather stay home and watch porn all night.
He didn't hide it any.
No, very honest man. So when that whole thing about his high school sweetheart leaving him because he was nailing a porn star, I was like, yeah, probably.
Right.
Loved his porn. Yeah, that seems probably about right.
Loved his porn.
Yeah.
I'm curious if he still is into that stuff. I don't know. He does have Nikki Bella, which I don't know why he would be.
I don't know. I mean, to me, the Bellas are kind of...
You see way more into Nikki Bella than I do.
Yeah, they're kind of a bit... You know, as far as goes,
they don't. Neither of them do a thing for me. The Daniel and Cena can occupy.
I'm fairly certain that my Brister in laws.
I tell you who I do love. I mean, just absolutely love the two that are there now. Is Sasha Banks?
Oh yeah,
I think Sasha is just as pretty as they get.
She married way down. Did you see who she married?
Yeah, she married Kid Mikazi.
Yeah,
we worked. Kid Mikazi was on the Northeast shows with us.
Oh no!
Yeah,
that's
who she married. He does like all the design. Like he does designs all the outfits pretty much that every woman wear.
I give that about 120 more days.
I don't know. Mikazi was a pretty good guy. I've only met him a couple of times.
I mean, they've been together for a long time.
Yeah, they've been dating forever.
And
they're
they
married like in a private ceremony last year.
I think the business is changing away from that. I think that a lot of the girls that are coming in now are more smart to it.
Yeah,
and I think that even the guys might be a little bit more. And I talked to Russo about this, but I think that a lot of the guys that came in now...
Well, Rusev married Lana.
Russo, not Rusev.
Russo
is who I talked to today.
Is that a lot of the guys that are coming in now are the guys who grew up playing the video games and who aren't necessarily more... There used to be an outlaw mentality to wrestling, to where when you got in, it was because you literally were not going to fit into any other human activity.
True.
You had to stay on the road. You had to stay out of one place. And then when you did something terrible in that territory, you'd go to another one because the police networks weren't linked.
Right. So, the true thing about that, you're right about that, because a lot of back in the day, they didn't have nothing to do with it. They go out, do drugs, get in trouble, whatever. Yeah. Now they're all like playing video games in a room.
Yeah.
Sasha Banks, you didn't know she was married?
I did not. I had no clue she was married. I figured that
Northeast Independent wrestler Kid Mikazi.
I couldn't figure out why she wasn't answering my Twitters. But I guess that's
why. Well, who's the other girl you said?
Asuka.
Asuka, okay.
Oh, if it's even vaguely Asian, he's fine.
Well, okay. But that's part. But Asuka is the absolute best feat. Even better than... Because I think Sasha's real good for no more training than she's had.
Mm-hmm. Asuka's way better than Sasha.
But Asuka...
Oh, yeah.
Asuka's way better than any of them.
She's been around forever, though.
The only one that gives her even remotely run for her money would be Flair's girl.
Charlotte.
What about Natalya?
Natalya's overrated.
You think so?
I do.
Way overrated.
Yeah. I mean, I think she's a good worker.
Let me give you a quote that used to come on a show called "In Living Color." It looked like a man.
I won't go that far. She's not. She doesn't look like a man.
Beautiful.
Yeah, she looks like a man.
She's a good looking girl. But the thing of it is,
she's a good looking man.
And I'm going to explain something that I don't know how many listeners you have.
I walked up to Natalya once. I said, "Pardon me, sir."
He has to get his cheesy puns in. Natalya, you don't look like a man. You're fine.
Yeah, Natalia's listening to the show tonight.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure she is.
Well, you know you're really over when Natalia comes and says, why'd Boland say I look like a man?
On the off chance that she Googles her name and this pops up.
She does.
But no,
I don't find, I guess.
I'm going to get away from the objectifying part here. I'm going to go into this.
Something about Natalia that I just don't like. I don't know what it is.
I'm going to go into this. I don't care how good of a worker somebody is.
Yeah.
That's not going to sell anything.
Okay. I get that.
You can be a mediocre worker and you'll sell out the world.
Well, we discussed that at Mark's Feet Store.
We did, and I'm going to get into it on the show. Yeah.
The good folks at Mark's Feet Store are sponsored today.
The Good Brothers at Mark's Feet Store. You can be, future shows. You can be an amazing worker. And you won't sell shit. Mm-hmm. You can bleep that. Mm-hmm. Or you can be a mediocre.
Well, he's already got to bleep like 31 of your shit, so let's tone it down a little bit.
And 32 of yours.
My shits don't come across as dirty as yours, so I wish you'd tone it down a little.
So, and you can be very mediocre and yet sell out the world.
What network are you on? We're PG.
It's his own decision because he wants to pretend that kids listen to the show.
Christian boy, eh?
Well, WWE is very PG, I don't mind a 13, 12, 10-year-old to listen to the show. And,
yeah.
That way their parents will let them say it's okay.
I'm going to the 25 and over crowd.
Yeah, I'm going to the over.
No, honestly, I don't mind it's just that it's just sometimes people, like somebody we all know.
Well, even on my wall, for whatever reason, I won't let anybody use the F word on Facebook unless I'm promoting my shirt. But on Twitter, I don't care. And I haven't, because I don't see as many young people.
Twitter is a much more adult thing. It's much more news oriented, much more current events oriented.
There's not as many kids that I see trolling me on Twitter as I do on Facebook.
Yeah. And I have a 7-year-old, so she loves wrestling. So she ever wants to hear the podcast.
Did you ever figure out who the father is? Saw the kid. I don't think it's yours.
So back to what I was saying is that you may have been able to be a great worker and get over before Jerry Lawler and Hulk Hogan. And Ric Flair, but after them, that ship was sunk. Nobody's wanting to watch.
He said ship.
He did.
You can bleep that too. Nobody's wanting to watch the old style grapplers who are just these, grizzled old men who can put you in some sugar hold and make you tap out as a shoot. That's boring.
I heard somebody use the phrase sugar hold the other day.
I know. It's
And that was what Rip Rogers was famous for, was the sugar hold.
The thing. We had a discussion this one time recently.
You know what?
I'm sure it was riveting.
Cornette used sugar
hold. Well, we had a discussion about this recently because talking about, like, say, for Roman Reigns, for example, or maybe Jinder Mahal.
I like Jinder.
And we're saying that Jinder should he be the champion is a terrible idea.
Both genders from what I've heard, but go ahead.
But what I
I'm a good liberal brother.
But the thing about being a worker, sometimes it's what works at that time is what's over and what's getting the heat or what's working. So, like, for example, Hogan, that worked in the 80s.
And Hogan could legitimately work. Most people won't acknowledge that.
He did matches in Japan to people who didn't even think it was Hogan. Somebody in a mask.
He threw an armbar on Muda once.
But he quit working.
He didn't have to anymore.
He did.
He had an incredibly long career because of it.
Exactly.
If he had kept using the Axe Bomber as a finish in America instead of the leg drop, his health would probably be fantastic to this day because he wasn't taking a lot of normal bumps.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't putting himself through the ringer. It was because of that hip drop, and now the leg drop, and now his hips and his thighs are destroyed from it.
Right. Well, look at Jerry Lawler. Jerry Lawler was able to have a great career because he never took a bump.
He never did. Very rare.
All right, going to have to stop you. Going to have to stop you. Because Jerry Lawler stuffed the guy who interviewed him and asked
He did the one through the table for LeDuc.
He asked him a few questions about me. Jerry Lawler came off the top rope with fist drops for 30 years.
Yeah.
He took backdrops from Joe LeDuc and various other people. Ridiculous backdrops.
But he picked his spots, though. He picked his bumps.
No, not back then. Those backdrops came in every match. The fist drops came in almost every match, especially when he became babyface, because for whatever reason, the fist drop became the finish of choice. He would try one for the second rope. First rope had never worked. Second rope would never work, so he'd always have to go to the top rope to get the fist drop that would actually work. And then, of course, he did the thing with LeDuc where they threw him over the top rope and LeDuc undershot him a little bit or overshot him.
Mm-hmm.
One of the two, and his leg hit that desk. That put him out for several weeks, severed some tendons. But I was at just about every match Jerry Lawler had, and no, you didn't. You didn't go to every town. Well, they did the same match in every town. So if you saw one, you saw them all. And Sam Houston loses. You said I'd do it to Florida State.
And Sam Bush.
In extra innings. They had that game wrapped up.
Oh, college baseball.
College baseball. Louisville looking pretty good over Kentucky. I think we got a shot 6-2, bottom in the eighth.
He forgot what he was doing.
Yeah, we're currently watching the College World Series. Game two of the Louisville-Kentucky.
First time the Kentucky and Louisville have ever met in the College World Series.
So, but back to the point that I was making is that you have a lot of these guys who want to just be the great worker, who want to be Chris Benoit, who was
strike.
Chris Benoit, who was incredibly mediocre on a good day. And he worked way too fast, way too fast for his size and his ability level.
Yeah.
But people want to pretend that that's what everybody should aspire to.
We're getting a lot of that now, though.
We are. It's boring.
Right.
We need to get the hell away from that.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan was never anyone until he dropped doing all the great worker stuff and became a personality.
Uh-huh.
Daniel Bryan made more money, developed more of a fan base when he started doing half of his matches going, yes, 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 yes,
right,
than he ever did when he was in Ring of Honor throwing people in shoot holds.
Right.
And that's the reality of it, and people hate that. CM Punk became way more over when he started coming out to Cult of Personality and having Paul Heyman do half of his stuff for him than he ever did when he was being put through arenas in IWA. Mm-hmm. And that's the reality of this business.
Right.
And you want to complain about a guy like Jinder Mahal, who's having very short but very solid matches. They're decent. Yeah. Who, because he put on some size very quickly, and he's not who they expected to be the champion, they want to complain about that.
But they're using the whole USA versus the world kind of mentality. That works. It works.
And it's been part of wrestling since the beginning. It's always been that.
Yeah.
And I think it's a silly thing to do, especially with India, because we have no heat with India to speak
of. Right, of course.
But you can't blame them for pushing the Indian guy. If you look at what it is, India is one of the largest economies on earth, and it's booming.
Right.
WWE is trying to develop a fan.
What's causing it to boom over there?
Production going over there lacks high taxes on things that are being imported as opposed to things that are being produced within the country. It's producing jobs.
I remember I went over there once, got off the plane, and went, there's one little, two little, three little Indians, and then I lost count.
Then he left because he had gotten his pun in.
Yeah.
But had no reason to stay.
They have a huge population. They have a large workforce to draw from.
And cow.
And
just
lost my headphones. We both did. Give us a moment.
Two cow, you bitch.
That is one of the dumbest dogs I have ever known.
Hey, he's smart enough to disconnect us from his show.
He is, yeah. He's not a big fan of...
Somebody had to do it.
Not a big fan of this podcast.
Maya trying to figure out how to... There we go. Maya got us going.
The bottom 10%
thank
of the
you,
Indian, the bottom 10% of the Indian population, which statistics show that you generally draw most of your wrestling fans out of the bottom 10% of society.
Uh-huh.
That's where most of your wrestling fans come from. There's been research done by WCW, WWE. They've all come to the same conclusion.
Typical
wrestling fans are in the bottom 10% of society. The bottom 10% of Indian society is 150 million people. If the WWE can get them to spend $1 a piece on WWE merchandise every month, that's 150 million new dollars they were not getting last year.
All right, there's been a big debate on the show between me and another co-host, Jeremy.
Sure,
he said he might come by today.
He was supposed to come by, but he's actually covering the game.
Out.
So
he didn't know how to act in front of a real star. He'd only been in a room with Ricky Chevy, so he didn't know what to do.
Right, probably so.
Probably got shaky.
That star burned too bright for him.
So here's the thing. The bait is,
You could interview little Jimmy LeBeau tomorrow, and he would be your new biggest star, if you hadn't interviewed me.
So the thing is that my opinion, my thought is that there are millions of people out there that are wrestling fans, okay? There are also millions of people that are just WWE fans. They have no idea what is going on in other – they don't know about New Japan.
I'll grant you that.
So his argument is that when AJ Styles debuted, I said – there was millions of fans that did not know who AJ Styles was. Maybe never seen a match. Maybe have heard his name, but they didn't know who he was.
Right.
He got more exposure. They claim that his thing is that if you're a wrestling fan, you know who AJ Styles was. I says no, because there's tons.
I would agree more with the point that everybody would probably know his name. It'd be hard enough to know his name if you follow wrestling.
True.
There for a while, anybody that watched WWE, 2Cow does not want us to do this show.
He does not. He's ready for this thing to end. His train of thought derailed, so I'll tell you.
I didn't watch a whole lot of TNA and WC. Where all was he at? ROH?
WCW, Ring of Honor, and TNA. Yeah.
I didn't watch a lot of those shows, but
Japan,
I knew who he was.
Right.
And
I have a very clear memory. I got kind of burned out on Jimmy's booking in OVW in the sense that I could tell that it sucked. So I started ordering the early TNA pay-per-views that Vince Russo was writing. Yeah, I'm out of the will for this one. The early TNA pay-per-views that Vince Russo was writing.
And back two
then,
of you.
Back then, the major angle was Sports Entertainment Extreme, sex versus the NWA. And Dad actually came home one night, and it was still on the pay-per-view. And he said, you know, I'm going to watch this. And he sits down, it's D'Lo Brown and AJ Styles. And they have probably one of the best matches at that point that either one of us had probably seen in 3 or 4 years. It was fantastic. And he went, wow, this guy's actually really good. You know, he's a little small, but man, he's good. And I don't think he really thought about him much after that, but he was aware of him from that. And it when you know AJ kind of came back and he was doing more of the stuff in TNA and he was having the mainline stuff against Angle, you know, he was aware of him.
Right.
But AJ's been very good for a very long time. I think people were peripherally aware of the name. They would hear it. They'd see commercials for TNA because TNA would buy so many spots on WWE shows trying to get mentioned. So you'd hear the name AJ Styles, and you knew that he was a big deal from that. So even I do believe that they were aware of him. I don't know that they would have been fans, and I don't know that they would know what he was capable of.
Or maybe even know what he looked like, possibly.
Yeah, or maybe not even know what he looked
what
like.
What about Shinsuke Nakamura, would you think? Because they made his first match.
The casual fans here would have had no idea who Shinsuke was.
My absolute favorite, I discovered him by accident by watching somebody. Somebody told me to watch an NXT show to see what I thought, and I rebuked against it for God knows how long. Finally, one day, I was sitting there at my computer, and a fan had sent me his code to WWE Network, and I said, yeah, all right, whatever. I brought it up, saw Shinsuke, and I had tears in my eyes because I actually like wrestling again.
Yeah.
Because I loved the match that he had with Samoa Joe, loved the one he had with Bobby Roode.
Well, everything they're doing in NXT is great. It's way better.
It was with Shinsuke, because right now they're not getting anywhere near the mileage out of him.
I have so much faith in Triple H to run WWE when Vince finally croaks.
Yeah.
Vince, if you're listening to this, please just stroke out now.
Batman died today. Maybe Vince ain't far
behind. Yeah, if Adam West is gone, then we can get rid of you too.
Yeah. A lot better world.
But the casual wrestling fan in America would have had no reason to know who Shinsuke was. He was.
Could I make a call to God and make a trade? Say, hey, come back and get Vince, give us Batman back?
Yeah, I'd be game with that. All right. They would have had no reason to know who Shinsuke was. Shinsuke was a very. And actually, this is probably going to sound terrible. He was past his prime in New Japan. He had been eclipsed. Tanahashi went over him. Okada went over him. Naito went over him. AJ went over him.
But
Omega
right now
went
on
over
the
him.
WWE roster, he is the most talented star that they have. If they use him right way.
I'm going to go AJ on that. I think AJ is better.
No, I think AJ is better, but I think they're both.
Well, you're both stupid.
They're both right there.
I think it'll be a fantastic match. I think the first one was very good.
Yeah.
But I also think that as far as just overall being the best, I there's nobody on AJ's level.
More
right
people
now.
Will buy a ticket to see Shinsuke than they will buy a ticket to see AJ.
Well, although Kevin Owens got a good gimmick going on too.
Kevin Owens is a fat Canadian.
He's my favorite fat Canadian though.
Well, that's like. Well, never mind. I've got nothing.
Kevin is a very talented guy who has been pushed past his level. He's batting out of his pay grade. He is a AAA guy who's in the World Series and just doesn't quite know what to do
with
himself.
He's a fat Canadian.
And that's nothing against him. You know, you could be a great ballplayer.
I'm
AAA.
A fat American.
A
There's no
AAA.
Shame in that. Just don't act like you're a great wrestler.
I think Sami Zayn's batting above his pay grade too. I think
I'm not a Sami Zayn fan at all.
Solid AAA ball players. You got to have them to fill up.
I'm more of a Nia Jax fan than I am a Sami Zayn fan.
I barely know what
I wouldn't Jax. Fight. I wouldn't fight Nia Jax. That's a big tough one.
You know, it's funny. She posted a picture in a bathing suit a while back, and everybody's like fat shaming her. She
beautiful.
Looked really beautiful. Really normal. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the outfit, the way that it's cut, or whatever. But
the outfit she wears for wrestling makes her look worse than she really is.
I absolutely 100% agree with that. And I don't know why they
I have
put that
seen
on
her outside of the outfit, and I'm going, what the hell are they doing?
I think it's because they want her to look intimidating, and they don't want her to be sexualized.
Because I don't want to fight.
My goodness, she's beautiful.
Pretty lady.
I'll grant you that.
And, you know, maybe that's to their credit that they're trying to not overly sexualize the women anymore. I think for a long time that was all they did.
They did, and it's kind of overplayed.
I'm not sure
that Sasha Banks qualifies for that, because I think they do with her.
I don't know that they do. I mean, her outfit's fairly modest. She doesn't really dress too provocatively or behave too provocatively. The Bellows are still worn out.
The only one that does it is Nikki. Nikki seems to put the bust out there a lot more.
Nikki is.
That's all Nikki. But Nikki's not a worker.
And Lana, too. Lana's out there, too,
I haven't seen Lana since she came back, but... I think they're trying to get Lana to be their main event female talent now. They're wanting her to kind of fill the Trish Stratus void.
I've gathered that, and I'm not totally on board with that.
I haven't seen her work. I can't pass judgment on her. She's very athletic.
I have a feeling they're going with Carmella. I think that's where they're going to push. They're going to give her the money in the bank and going to go with that. Yeah, that's what I think. Now, this will probably air after the Money in the Bank.
They better hope Asuka don't show up or they'll all quit the business.
Well, Asuka needs to be the top, but
I think that pulling Asuka, I don't think that the main event WWE talent, or not the main event television talent, I don't think the main WWE audience could grasp what Asuka's doing. I think that when you're in NXT, you have this niche Ring of Honor style audience, or old Ring of Honor style audience who understands that.
Right.
I think the minute you put this this tough Japanese woman on there, I think they're going to be lost. I think it's going to be what happened to Shinsuke. You give them the violin player, you give them the big intro, okay, it feels good. They don't understand that style of wrestling.
They've only given him the violin player once, and it was a half-assed job at that on his debut.
Okay, but here's the thing.
The violin player.
Can they understand? You're a huge wrestling guy. You've been in this. You know what a good match is. I've been around this forever. He's been watching this forever. We're more of an educated fan than the average WWE consumer.
I would grant you that.
Well, the average Mark.
We're smarter than everybody else.
Not the average smart. Not the average smart Mark. Not the average educated fan, if you want to call him that.
Not even Cameron could bring down the educational wrestling knowledge in this room. He couldn't do it.
Can the average 14?
Try. Still about 94.
He thought Vince Russo booked the Mae Young hand. Can the average wrestling fan grasp what Shinsuke
Nakamura
is doing?
Sounds like something Vince would do, be honest with you.
Can the average wrestling fan grasp what Shinsuke Nakamura is doing? And to me, the answer to that is no.
Well, I don't know if it's the fans that aren't getting it, or
I think it's a combination of both.
I don't think the booking going on.
I don't think that the writers know what to do with him. But I think that even if they did, I think that even if he was presented in the way that Triple H presented him, they would have a hard time grasping.
Well, I was eating him alive in NXT.
But you're not the audience. You're not the audience.
But the problem,
I said in NXT, and now I'm noticing that they're not doing
the problem with the main roster compared to NXT. Why it works in NXT. They would work in the main rosters. You have a smaller group of people working with those wrestlers, putting the match, booking the matches, writing whatever, and you have 25 Hollywood writers in WWE trying to write wrestling. They don't know anything
about
wrestling. And then you got 15 other people, agents and stuff, touching it too. It's just
I'm going to say something that's not going to be a popular opinion, but the only person who could currently write for the complete structure of a WWE is Vince Russo. Because the thing is that you have two touring groups constantly running house shows.
Now, Jimmy's going to be mad at you for saying that.
He knows I support
Russo. He stays mad at us.
So, but Vince is the only guy in the history of the business who, from the top to the bottom, every single person on the roster had a role. They had a story. They had somewhere that they fit in. They had a reason to be there. Everybody in the Attitude Era, from Crash Holly up to The Rock, was doing something.
Mm-hmm.
There was nobody who was too small for a story. Taka Michinoku had a role.
Absolutely right.
When you have a roster as big as what the WWE has now, it's so easy to get lost in that shuffle if you're not involved in something.
And there's too many throwaway matches. They'll have a match for no reason. Exactly. Which is the reason why I was just listening to this today when Pritchard was talking about his show, but the reason why Stone Cold left in 2002 or whatever it was.
He didn't want to put over Brock.
Well, not only that, but he was just, these stories were going, throwaway matches. Yeah. What's the point,
And that's the thing. And Steve Austin on his podcast put Russo over as a guy who built him. So that's good enough for me. Jimmy can say what he wants, but if Austin gives him credit, I'll give him credit.
Right.
So the thing of it is that you have to book for that style now, and they're not doing that. You have... There's probably, 30, 40 guys on Raw, 30, 40 guys on SmackDown, plus NXT, and you're wanting to keep track of all these characters, who most of them aren't involved in angles, or if they are, it's these bizarre multi-man matches just to get everybody TV time, and it's not being written for. You have a three-hour show on Raw that somehow you don't have enough time to get everybody in on.
Well, that's what they did with Shinsuke, is that they immediately get him involved in all these goofy-ass tag matches.
Yeah. You have to save a talent like Shinsuke. He has to be presented as an attraction. You can't bring him in as just another guy on the roster.
The match that they had, him and Ziggler had here in Louisville, after 205 Live, dark match, was amazing.
Which I was hot about.
It was way better than the stinking match they put on Backlash.
It's because they had time. There was no restrictions.
Exactly. They had 15 minutes is probably where they went, I think. And then on Backlash, they did like 7, 8, whatever it was.
Because you had to do pay-per-view timelines. And you had all these other stories you had to tell. And... the thing of it is that a guy like Vince knows how to do that. I don't know how to do that. Jimmy doesn't know how to do that, whether he'll admit it or not. The writers they have now don't know how to do that. And when you have rosters this big, you have people who mean nothing. And there's so many people who mean nothing. The Usos are the tag team champions, and they mean nothing.
Well, there's too many champions, too.
There are, but when you have two separate brands, when you're trying to WCW yourself, that's going to happen.
Right.
You're going to have, when you have a double of everything, of course it's not going to mean anything.
Right.
WCW didn't have two U.S. champions. They didn't have two World Heavyweight champions. They didn't have two tag team champions.
So you all talked to Russo, I know, on the podcast, but you also talked to him off the podcast.
Yeah, we're
so, off, well, I guess it's going to be on the record now. What are some of the things that would Russo go back to the WWE if they wanted him?
He's offered his services. Jimmy calls it begging. I've seen the letter. There was no begging.
Yeah, he wrote one letter basically letting them know if there was anything he could do to help any of their products.
Let them know.
Be it on Raw, SmackDown, or even the WWE Network, let me know. I'd be happy to be of some help. And he hadn't heard anything back, but there were people from WWE that contacted him and said, hey, I think it'd be a good idea if you let Vince know you're interested to work here.
Yeah.
And that's what he did.
Now,
one letter.
One letter.
He now, didn't beg anybody. He wasn't doing any of that. That's all Cornette's hysteria.
See, right, I know. I get that. But yeah. What I understand is it's not the first time that someone has said something to Vince, and he's going, okay, and then 2 years later he hires him or whatever later he remembers that. So I would see him coming back. But didn't he
I'd like him to come back.
Didn't he come back in like 2002 or?
He came back right after WCW died. They brought him in. But he was
He left right away.
Yeah, he at the same time, he was coming in, but he was being forced to work under Stephanie, and he didn't really like that.
Oh, okay.
Because, let's face it, Vince Russo knows a lot. In the marks, they should agree with this, I'd hope, that Vince Russo is a much better writer than Stephanie McMahon. And he couldn't work with her. They couldn't coexist. Well,
neither could Paul Heyman. Neither could Bruce Pritchard.
Nobody could. It's Stephanie's way or the highway, and when you're Vince Russo, you know, that's not going to work. And I respect Vince a lot for that.
So, and most of those people have seen Stephanie growing up, so it's a little different. It's
hard to respect her,
Right, yeah.
So Vince basically said, look, this isn't going to work, and he pulled some stuff and got himself out of there, and he went to help Jarrett form TNA.
Well, in the line of apologies, I would like to apologize for the many times that I've called Stephanie a worthless ignorant. Can't say that on this show, can you? Well, I'm apologizing anyway.
Okay. You're going to have to beep that.
Yeah.
He's half asleep. He's dozing. Yeah, you can tell.
Yeah.
This is largely my
never
show.
Know, never know what, what he's going to say.
Yeah, this is largely my show at this point, I think.
So
did I dream that or did I really say that?
You really said that,
Well, this is a normal.
You got that
this
shit,
is kind of a normal thing that happens on the Ringside Podcast. We'll talk about something.
He puts his guest to sleep. It happens all the time.
No. We'll talk about something.
Is Ricky Chevy in the room?
We'll talk about something, and then next thing you know, we're on something else. So we started with stories, and then it turned into just ideas and thoughts and
explanation,
opinions, explanation of and then trying to help get Vince
Russo
a job.
I like the four. This is kind of like a table of three.
Yeah.
Well, no offense, little Jimmy. A table of three and a half. little Jimmy, he's just a little baby. He ain't big.
People's going to think you're thinking of you're like
talking
you're,
about a dog,
Little
baby.
Well, I mean, if you see little Jimmy, they're going to think you're being pulled into R-Truth's group gimmick or whatever. Remember the little Jimmy?
Oh, yeah, little Jimmy.
Did we violate
Cameron, are you imaginary?
Are you an imaginary friend?
Gimmick infringement over here.
Yeah, gimmick infringement over here.
Is that what he called him, little Jimmy?
Little Jimmy.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Well, I'm sorry, R-Truth. I'll apologize to you, too. I won't call you the C word.
Okay, so I tell you what. This has been a great show. I appreciate you guys coming on.
Well, it's been better than great, but go ahead.
Yeah, appreciate you guys coming on. Maybe, well, I'm sure after all these hits, we're going to have to do this again in the future sometime.
I would break this into two parts because even I damn near fell asleep.
No, you fell asleep.
We'll
back up for the finish.
We'll have to edit your snoring out of the show.
We'll do this again, and I appreciate y'all doing this. But, you know, the big thing
comfy
that we end every
cow.
Show with.
Comfy cow.
We're going to go comfy cow.
We're going.
Ice
there
cream.
Will be ice cream down there.
The thing we'll end the show with is our pipe bomb. So we're going to let the Prince take it away with the pipe bomb.
You want this? Come on. Lay the pipe bomb on me, big guy. Come on. Go ahead.
All right, today I'm going to discuss something that has become very near and dear to my heart lately, and that is the feud between my loving godfather, Jim Cornette, and a very dear friend of the Bolin family, Vince Russo. The thing is that I feel like a lot of this is being driven by the markdom on the internet, and a lot of the people who don't actually know what goes into either living a personal life or developing the wrestling business. People are driving this feud between these two men when one of them wants nothing to do with it, and the other one's not smart enough to know that he needs to get out. The issue with a man like Jim Cornette is that he's driven to do volatile things in an effort to maintain his fame. Just for this, because you people still buy it. If you were to just let this go, to just stop and ignore it like a bad advertisement, Jimmy might be able to live a normal, constructive life, but you don't. You continue to go onto the forums, you go onto Reddit, you go onto Twitter, and you keep hyping this up. None of you know anything about this wrestling business, and I'm very sorry that I have to be the one to point this out to you, because a lot of you don't even know who I am, but believe me, you certainly should. The issue with what you're doing and what you're saying and what you're driving things to, people don't understand the moral grounds that they're getting on here. Vince Russo is a man who you still long for the work that he did, saying we need to return to the Attitude Era, we need to get back to the style of booking and the style of show, and then you run him through the floor continuously over things that you don't really understand the process of, such as the death of WCW, which even Jim Cornette himself has said Vince Russo had almost nothing to do with. You get on these shows and you demand more answers. You try to crucify the man in public for things that he didn't do that you won't let go. Jim Cornette, seeing this, latches on onto it and decides that he's going to make that his cornerstone. His shows are built around it. My relationship with Jimmy is almost built around it at this point. When my dad and I became friends with Vince Russo, he almost cut my dad, his best friend of 30-plus years, out of his life. It would be funny if it wasn't so sad, to coin a phrase from Jim Cornette. You people need to let this go. You need to move on with your lives. Hating Vince Russo while trendy is pathetic. You don't know the man. You don't know the business the man was in, and you don't know the things the man has done. His personal life is not your business. Driving him to these depths, sadly, is not your business. It's not your concern. Thank the man for what he did. Block him on Twitter if you don't like him, and move on with your sad basement-dwelling lives.
Well, that was a good pipe bomb. That was probably the best one we ever did.
Dropped it right on my foot. That hurt.
Yeah, he did drop it.
Good God. Damn thing was on fire.
Well, there you go. That's it.
I'm sad that this is over with. We got to make this like a regular, like a semi-regular thing. That was awesome.
I really appreciate Kenny's, not only his friendship, I've known him for literally 20 years, I think, now at this point. But, you know, not only that, it's just the fact that he was willing to come on the podcast and help us little guys out. Because, you know, I mean, Kenny is... You know, he's not the Jimmy. He don't have the Jimmy Cornette following, although he kind of does because he's his best friend. But he doesn't have, you know, your Steve Austin, your Jerichos, your Bruce, all these big podcasts out there. But he has a good he has thousands of followers, a big following, probably thousands. He probably slapped me for saying that. But, you know, he's got he probably thinks it's more than that, and it probably is, and I'm just undershooting it. But he's got a lot of followers, a lot of support. And the fact that he was willing to come on this little guys podcast and, you know, give us some time. Give me literally all day. I mean, I was with him from, you know, the early afternoon Saturday all the way till that evening, you know, and of course, after I was done, he was like, you can hang out and come back to the house and hang out if you want to. And we was at the, you know, the Boland Castle and hanging out. And he was just very, very respect, very friendly, his whole family. You know, I've met Chris many times too, but Chris seemed a little more like, you know, just talking afterwards, just off the mics and stuff. He just was really cool people, and you know, it's just, you know, they're a different group of people. I don't mean that in a bad way. They're just good. And there was, we went out for ice cream, as you heard. We joked about going to the Comfy Cow. We went out there, we hung out and hanging around, and there was other kids running around. And what did Kenny do? He was talking to kids about who he, you know, hey, did this John Cena stuff. He shared his information. He's going to send this little boy some John Cena autographs. Like, come on, man.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, Kenny don't have to do that. You know, that's all out of Kenny's pocket. You know, he has tons of stuff still saved from, you know, when he managed all those guys. But, you know, it's pretty cool. So, you know, special pipe bomb edition. How do you like that? The Prince himself doing the pipe bomb.
I think he should do them every week.
Well, it was neat.
Can we have him record those every week?
I think he probably could. I mean, think about it. We all do it, and we all try to, sometimes we try to cut a promo from it, or sometimes we just try to rant about something, but he's been paid to manage and do promos. So, like, he kind of knows his stuff. And believe it or not, he literally sit there. There was no script, no nothing. We don't do that either. We try to go off the cuff, but he had nothing written down. He was just like, yeah, I know what I'm going to do. And he just went with it. And it's a, you know, this topic right now with the whole Vince Russo and Jim Cornette going back and forth at it. I mean, it's like, you know, he basically let them know how he feels. And, you know, and he's Jim Cornette's godson. You know, he's written off the wheel for sure. But, you know, I mean, it's crazy.
He's definitely one of the best two people that have done a pipe bomb on this show so far.
Right. And me being number one. Britt Rogers stole my idea. On the one
dive
headlock. Anyway, so, but once again, we appreciate Kenny coming out. You can follow him on Twitter at StarMakerBolin. Of course, send him a message about order some beats by Bolin, microphones. He's also got his book. Did you ever read his book?
Haven't yet.
It's
on my wish list, though.
It's pretty good. The crazy thing about it is the fact that, I was asked to write a story for it, and I never got around to it, and then it was too late, and I'm kind of upset that I didn't write one, because he was going to put it in the book. It was a neat concept. He asked everybody to, if they want to be put in the book, if they want to write a story, to write a story, and I think you pay like a small fee or whatever, and you get your name in the book, and like, that pretty much fund the book. He's a hustler, man. He knows how to do it. But his book is called I'll Probably Screw You Too. The mostly true stories of Kenny the Starmaker Bolin, And that's a pretty top seller, especially locally and in the indie scene and in the wrestling business. And it's pretty funny, some crazy stuff that, you know, like I said, the title says mostly true. So they seem to like they would be something Kenny would do for sure.
Seems like a man after my own heart.
You're right, exactly. The new podcast, The Bowling Alley, is on bowlingpod.com. Also on all outlets, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Google Play. Once again, we appreciate the support. Thanks for listening to our show. Thanks for all the new listeners. Hey, by the way, go check out all of our previous episodes in the archives. You know, check out our intros. Check out our topical episodes about tag teams and the one we just recently did on factions and stables. Next week we'll be back to our regular format. Of course, you can follow us on social media, on the Twitter, on the Instagram, and on Facebook at I have to do Jericho Stick at Ringside Podcast. And on there also, you'll see in our title, we have a voicemail. So you can leave us a voicemail, 502-694-2310. When we tweet out different topics like this, call us and leave us a voicemail, because it just might air on the show and we'll talk about it and get your opinions out there. And we'll give you a shout out, and you know, even if you want to put in your Twitter handle what it is or something like that, so we can plug that on the show as well. Appreciate all the support and everything. But
Konnichiwa.
Konnichiwa. Do you do a Japanese
thing? I know, man. I've been ready for Kenny Bolin. I wanted to hear. You don't forward the interviews to me, so I'm listening to it for the first time when they listen to it. So,
well, you know, I mean.
So I didn't have any. I'm sorry to all the millions and millions of people in Japan that have been tuning in to listen to us because of me. We appreciate it so much. And I'll do better next week, I promise. And hopefully it's none of them are any of the millions that don't watch wrestling like Daniel tries to claim that there are.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that though? Did you hear that in the interview? Kenny Bolin and Chris, the Prince, agreed with me.
No, you edited that. We all know you edited it.
I did not. They said they said on my side.
No,
which
one are you? Number three. Okay. So until next time,
they've been in the wrestling business. They were in the wrestling business, and they agree with my side. They said, yeah, you're right. That's a true statement. So thank you.
No, for that. That's like saying that there are millions of people. They're all in graves. Those are the people who don't know who AJ Styles was before he came to WWE.
They agree with me. Anyways, thanks for listening to the show. And as always,
until next time, you've been ringside.
See ya.
Rhyme of strength. Ain't nobody man enough to feel the pain. And you could be next. You better give respect. 'Cause ain't nobody.